You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks.
Cool, refreshing water still. Keep trying to cleanse
wow,
the body.
Still.
Cleanse. Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah. I got to drink more water.
So it's not the fact that you've not had coffee since Monday. You just
well,
don't
had
happen
coffee.
To be drinking coffee right now.
Right. I've had coffee.
Okay.
I will have coffee. But I will tell you this, that I actually had some, something happen from drinking too much coffee. And it's really weird, and this is going to freak people out. But I woke up one morning, and I was getting ready to brush my teeth, so I spit in the sink. I don't know why I always do that, but before I brush my teeth, I spit. And it was black. And I'm like, what in the world? And I look, and I spit again, and it's black. And I'm like, it looks like I've eaten licorice. And I look in the mirror, and my tongue is black. My tongue is black. And I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, I got tongue cancer. I got something going on here. What's the deal? And so I look, I go online, and I find out that if you drink too much coffee, your body can produce too much keratin. And it comes out on your tongue, of all things. And all you have to do is you have to brush your tongue. And so that's what I did, and it went away, and that was it. But it kind of freaked me out a little bit. But one of the causes is drinking too much coffee. And I realized I'd had like three or four that day. I normally have two. And I'd had three or four, and one of them was not from Tim Hortons. And apparently it poisoned
me. That was it.
It poisoned
me. That was what it was. Yep.
Yeah, poisoned me. Yeah. So there you go. Hey, Frank Suglio, by the way, just told me that they're getting a Tim Hortons in Berea. Yeah, Berea.
Wow.
Yeah, coming to the Cleveland area.
That's close enough to Cleveland Baptist, so.
Yeah, yeah, I could drive there for that. That's pretty close. So I don't have to go the hour to Mansfield or Ashland anymore. I can just go to Berea, you know, 30 minutes and get one. Why aren't they in Cleveland? What's up with that? So just know that if you drink too much coffee, that can be a problem. So that's I'll drink more water.
That's great advertisement for the new Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
Come here and get a black tongue.
No. Drink Tim Hortons, you won't get a black tongue. Go outside of Tim Hortons, you get a black tongue. Yeah, it's the black tongue of coffee death. That's what it is. So I thought, you know, I might have to go coffee free for, you know, a while just to, you know, get my system cleared up. But then I thought,
oh, man,
nah.
You'd get the jitters. You'd get the jitters.
Yeah. I really don't. I'm not addicted to it. I really like it. And I don't always drink Tim Hortons. I do it at home sometimes.
Right.
But yeah, I enjoy it. But
yeah, I can see that. You're not addicted to it. You just have to have it.
Every day. Twice.
You're not addicted. Said, you just can't go without it.
I can't go without it. I get so grouchy. My wife, she goes, you know, you spend a lot of money on coffee. It's like $2 a cup of coffee, and you're drinking two a day. That's $4, and you're drinking it 5 days a week. That's $20 times 52 weeks. That's $1,000 in coffee. I said, hey, it could be beer. I said, just praise the Lord I'm not an alcoholic. You know, I chose to drink something that wouldn't be, you know, impacting my life like that. So, and for the kids listening, I never have drank it. I never will drink it. I don't want to drink it. It's bad. Boo. Bad.
That
beer.
Is right. That is drink, right.
Yep. Or as Kayla says, beard. Bad beard.
Beard. Yep. Bad beard.
There you go. So, moving on from that. How about thinking out of the box?
No, you do have a pretty bad beard. Like,
I do have
bad
as
in cool, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Bad, man.
Is it bread? Yeah. Is it bread?
It's bread.
Is that really what they say? It's bread? Is that what they
I
say?
I was asking the teens the other day, yeah.
Yeah. I never heard that. I'm going to have to try it here. I don't know if any kids here know that. I'll try that one. Maybe
you
I can start,
start it.
I yeah. can. I'll be the coolest
outside
guy in St.
Outside
the Thomas.
Box.
Yeah.
You're outside the box.
Yeah.
Baptist bread.
Baptist bread. I can write devotionals to help people. When we were kids,
I was thinking
if you said,
like an idea book. Baptist bread.
Bread. I get how to be a cool Christian. Bread. What's toast? If you're toast, is that good or bad?
Hot bread, I guess.
It was bad. It was bad in our day. If you're toast, pal. That was bad. So you just want to be fresh bread. That's going to be my new sign-off name. This is Fresh Bread. Stay with us for this, this new is topic. Bread.
All right, you can be fresh bread and I'll be stale toast.
But we'll both be hot coffee. This is Blackbeard, Black Tongue the Pirate signing off. Are you kiddies? I'm Black Tongue the Pirate. I drink too much coffee. Yo ho, yo ho. It's the Black Tongue life for me. Crazy, man.
Yo ho, yo ho. A bottle of Listerine for me.
You're not kidding, buddy. Oh, buddy. Here we go. All right. Out of the box. Let's get out of the box here.
Yes. Okay.
And I thought of this. How do you go from the thought process of an idea to actually making it happen and work? Is there a process? Is there something we should be thinking about? And could that go awry? Let's talk about that. So when you're, you know, starting as the youth pastor, what's the thought process you've got for trying to get that youth group going and growing?
For me, I can remember a bunch of times I'd tell Pastor Thompson, hey, you know, I think I'm going to try this, and I'm really into it. And he's like, yeah, right. And he tells me the other side of it, and I go, okay, yeah, I didn't think of that. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're only, you know, inspiring and getting ideas, you better talk it out with somebody, find a good set of counselors, and, you know, start bouncing some of those ideas off of them. And right. So that's where the downer people come in. You know, yes. You don't want the downer people in the meeting who only see the negative. But once you come up with the ideas, now go find the downer people, the bean counters, who have no imagination, and find out all the problems with that idea, truly. You know, but you need that inspiration. You know, you want to be around other people. You and I, when we worked together, we came up with a billion ideas.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, most of them were not scriptural. but you know, we fed each other, you know, off of, hey, what about this? And that's where most of our skits came from. Most of our awesome, the best skits we ever did, most of them came from goofing off when we were going out on visitation, you know, talking and all of those other things. And so, you know, we really had, you know, we fed off of each other. But you can get a group of people. You can get a nucleus of people, 5 to 6 people, 8 people maybe at the most. But I would think you'd want to keep it around 6, because pretty soon people start talking all over each other and you can't really get much done. Yeah. But as you start talking about ideas, whether it's for camp or for your you know, ministries or things to do for church or rewards or awards or anything, you got to let lousy ideas still come to the surface, because sometimes they may be a springboard for an awesome idea.
Right, absolutely. And by the way, if you're listening and you need some bean counter guys that will, you know, be a downer, I got a list of about 25 pastors that I could send to you. That would be great help. That will shoot down every idea you have. And
you mean Pastor Eeyore?
Yeah.
It'll never work. It'll never happen.
The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Pastor Chicken Little. Yeah, I got a whole list of them. I'll give you the text, everything. Yeah, ideas for me, I get a lot of ideas in the middle of the night for some reason. I'll wake up and I'll have to jot them down because I'll forget them by morning. But just, you know, just everyday life, if you're a thinker at all, and it seems like my brain never shuts off, when I see a problem, and I think every preacher is this, every preacher is a problem solver. And, you know, I've mentioned being a chaplain for our fire department. Those guys have told me we are problem solvers. If somebody's stuck in a vehicle, you're going to call us to get them out. The police aren't going to get them out. That's not what they do. They're going to take charge of the crowd. They're going to secure things. But those firefighters are the guy. How do we get them out of the burning house? How do we get them out of the car? And so they're problem solvers. I said, you know what? There's a lot of correlation there between pastors and those guys. We're problem solvers. And I'm constantly trying to solve everybody's problems for them. My church members, my family, my country, you know, my friends. I want to help you solve the problem. And I think that's where a lot of those ideas come from. So the first thing I think you have to see is there a problem? And if there is a problem, what is the problem? And can there be a solution to the problem? And that's where the thought process starts for me. And then you're right. I go to people and bounce it off them. My wife would probably be the first person. And my wife gets upset with me because she'll come up with ideas and I'll say, yeah, that's not going to work. And at one point, I say to her, I'm a realist as well. I'm a dreamer, but I'm a realist. And from doing this process, you do have to look from the other angle, like you said, and you have to count the costs and different things. And a lot of time, my wife will say, I've got a great idea. I'm going to go on Shark Tank. And I'll say, honey, that's already out there. Somebody's already come up with that. There's nothing new under the sun. So part of my process is I will Google the idea I've got and see if someone else has come up with it. And a lot of times they have. And then you can take and you can refine that from there. But I'll go oftentimes, first person I go to is my wife. Second person, Mike Holland. Third group of people, I go to my kids and I'll throw it out there. And they'll be like, Dad, yeah, no, that's not going to work. That's you can't do that today. Or this is how you do it today. This would work better today. So that's the group of people that I go to when I've got those kind of ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gotta somehow brainstorm and get those ideas. And it's not the fact that you're wired that way. It's the fact that your circuitry is weird.
Yeah, that's so, what it is. Yeah.
But honestly, you know, you come up with the ideas and then you got to try to see if they're feasible.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the practicality is going to come in, how to implement them. And, you know, that's where you get some more idea people of, hey, this would be great. And that's some of your creative people, you know, the artistic people will help you greatly when you want to implement. Now, how do I promote this? What is the concept? How can I get this activity to a concept that people can understand? That's where your artistic people oftentimes come in, and they know how to present that in a word picture to where you know, it really comes across well. And then once you have those ideas and you want to, whether it's a publication or, you know, make some kind of advertising, you know, now the graphic people and the video people, once they understand the concept, what are you trying to get across? And maybe some of the artistic people have come up with two or three different concepts, ways to get that concept across. Mm-hmm. Now they can start fleshing that out and going, oh, man, now that third one, that's the key. That's the one that we can use. And now they've got a path because they've got that program mindset, you know, that that they can see how that can implement. But really, it takes a team. It really does take a team to come up with a real good concept that's gonna last and endure. And that's what a church ought to be doing. You know, a church has all of those people, all of those kinds of individuals are there, and it just takes some people to want to put them together and saying, hey, we're going to work at this problem and, you know, try to sort of set up. And we're in a Anabaptist. We hate even the word or the concept of a board.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with having a panel of people that you can rely on to help maybe, you know, go from idea to finished product.
Right.
That you see that process and you're going to constantly refine that. Or you may come down to the bean counter and go, hey, that's going to be too expensive. And you're going to have to scrap it or table it, you know, because you want it done well. That's one of the things that I desire is that I want to do it well. I want to do something the best that I can.
Whenever absolutely.
I was coaching, I wanted to win all the time. I wanted seasons of winning, so there was some confidence. There was a trust value. And so I think the same thing goes for us as pastors. Whenever our church people see, and I hate using this word, but successes, mm-hmm. you know, some kind of victories, then there's even a greater inspiration the next time you say, well, let's try this and let's do this. But I would caution pastors, be careful about saying, God wants us to do this.
Yes. Yep.
Because there's not many places in the Bible where the Lord wants you to start something and then allows it to phase out. Mm-hmm. And it just burns out. Its time is done. You know, so the Lord is timeless. So be careful. I've said many times, I can't tell you that the Lord is leading me to do this, but I've really prayed for wisdom, and I think this is right. When do we change our church service times and mm-hmm. change a lot of our visitation to where I think, and I've emphasized it over and over, I think this is going to be the best for the next 20 years. I hope I'm right, but I've done it through I feel the leading of the Lord. So mm-hmm. I'm willing to, let's try it and let's really commit ourselves to it together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I would be very careful about saying, God told me this, and then we quit it in 6 months. Well, then did God tell you to quit it?
Yeah. I would pick, if I could pick a advisory committee to help me in ideas. And I try to do this, and we don't necessarily meet all at the same time, but these are the people that I would look for and ask. First of all, you have to have financial. You mentioned that. Somebody who's going to figure the cost of what you want to do. Somebody artistic, which you did mention. Somebody that can kind of make it look really good. And I agree. We, for years, as Independent Baptists, have done things either because we felt we had to or wanted to, but we kind of just did it real quick. And it wasn't the best. And I get tired of that. Websites, oh my goodness. Independent Baptist churches, look at your website. Get that thing up to date. I saw 4 or 5 in the last couple of weeks. I'm like, good night, man. This is terrible. No information or wrong information or just archaic. You know, today you got to be sharp with that stuff. I think you need somebody who's got some logistics ability. That's where I fail in logistics. How do you take this idea and get it here? And you've got somebody that can then go to those other people and say, okay, this is you, this is you, this is you. I think you need somebody who's very practical on your team of advisors. Somebody who's going to say, you know, this just isn't something that's really going to help us, or it's not going to be advantageous. And then you need those dreamers. You need people that can take the dream and expand the dream. And if you can get that kind of group together, and then I think you need to have a good range of ages. You have to have younger to older and people in between so that it'll span multiple generations. If you go just to older people, they're not gonna see some of the technology and how to use it. And if you go to just younger people, they're not gonna know some of the failures or the faults of ideas gone bad. And I think you have to take that into account. And that's something that you kind of brought up earlier, and we had talked about a little bit before we started, that there can be some failures in this, and you have to know how to deal with those failures. Have you had that experience? And tell folks how you work through that.
Well, I'll give you one example, which nowadays people would think would be so tame that it's nothing. But it was right around this time of the year, and I was planning some of my summer activities for the teen department.
Yeah.
And so I told Pastor Thompson, I said, hey, I could do like a movie night. And we could show. And, of course, at that time, there wasn't videos and stuff. You had to go to the library and get a 16-millimeter film, you know. And so I said, hey, we can show like Yankee Doodle Dandy. You know, James Cagney movie, you know, and he went, yeah, right. I went, no, I mean, it's good songs in there. He goes, yeah, and everybody's got short skirts on, and all they're doing is singing and dancing. So you're going to promote dancing and the stage and Hollywood. And he said, so that's what you're promoting. I went, well, maybe we can do something else.
You should have said John Wayne. He'd have gone for it. No question. John
Wayne. Yeah, exactly. It'd have been John Wayne. Exactly.
You can't have that other stuff, but you can have guys sitting in a bar, you know, shooting each other. That's okay.
Oh, speaking of Grandma Jerry, I've said this before, but our people love this story. But I was about 5 years old, and I had my straw cowboy hat, my six guns, and I took a Dixie cup and slapped it on the counter, pushed my hand back with the back of my head, you know, my hat with the back of my hand, said, "Give me a drink." And my mom wasn't looking at it. She said, "What do you want?" And I go, "Whiskey." Man, I got spanked with a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking it, and sitting on my bed going, I bet John Wayne never got spanked by his mom.
And she thinks I'm too hard on you about coffee? Mrs. Wolven, come on. In my coffee cup, there's coffee, not whiskey.
Well, I would only drink the Black Tongue brand.
Oh, yeah, good. You know, I should never have told people that, because now every time I preach, people are going to be looking to see if my tongue is black.
They're looking at your tongue.
I'm going to have to stick my tongue out before I start.
Who cares about COVID and taking your temperature? They're going to say, stick out your tongue.
I got too much keratin.
But honestly, that, you know, we can get to the point sometimes of wanting to do something good. And our intent is honestly for good, and we wind up doing something foolish or something that may open the door for Satan to get a foothold in somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And we don't even think about it because we're so enraptured with what we want to do, what we want to try, and we want to see for God, and we may not be thinking scripturally. You know, also about that idea as well. So we got to be careful, you know, what we're promoting, what we're acclimating people to. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, listen, get some ideas, get them going. We need new ideas, something fresh, something exciting. And I know there are guys that have idea days and invite preachers in and do that. That's some great stuff. You know, just young people, help us. College age, help us. And preachers, be open to that. Let's reach a generation with the gospel, staying true to scripture, true to doctrine, but looking for ways that we can reach people and help people with the cause of Jesus Christ. Awesome, awesome.
Amen.
Hey, it's been a great week. Thank you, Brother Wolven.
Yes.
And as we record this, I am just a few days away from being in Columbus, Ohio with my good friend, Brother Wolven.
That will be with awesome. Our brother. We'll get a couple of weeks done together.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I'll be with Brother BJ Van Ammen and in Pickerington. Is it Ammen or Ammon? I'm not sure.
Ammon.
Ammon? I always
Long
say Ammon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's because
Brother BJ,
you're Canadian. And
I think
you sing the fourfold Amen.
Yeah. Well,
down the States we say Amen, brother.
Yeah, Amen. Yeah. I think it may be that, or the Dutch here, I think, would say it Van Ammen. I think they say it different here, so Van Ammen. So I'm going to be with him, and looking forward to that in Pickerington, and we'll be together a little bit. It's going to be awesome.
Amen.
Going to be good.
Amen.
Good revival. If you're in the area, come by. We'd love to have you. And it'll start, let's see, as we put this on air, this is Friday.
It'll be that week. This is the week of.
Yeah, so you missed it. Sorry, folks. I should have told you. Monday to Wednesday.
Reset.
You missed it.
Hasn't this been a great week in Pickerington?
Man.
Amen. Oh. Wow,
yeah.
What a good meeting that you had.
Yeah.
Wow, that was just tremendous.
Tremendous. Tremendous. You know, I should have let people
lousy
know.
Lousy pastor, but a good revival speaker.
That's true. I should have let people know about it ahead of time, but unfortunately, we didn't do it, so you missed it. So there you go. Hey, this is Tim Talks. I'm Al Stone. I am in St. Thomas getting ready to head down to the great state of Ohio and then off to Alberta. So traveling.
Amen. This is Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. As you hear this, next week, we are so privileged to have Brother Sam Davison with us and the Heartland Baptist Bible College Quartet. is going to be singing, not on Sunday morning, but Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday morning and Tuesday night. So that'll be a wonderful addition to the preaching. So we are looking forward to just having a great, great time. That's Sunday through Tuesday, June the 12th to 14th. And then the next week is going to be Father's Day. And then right after Father's Day, we have 5 days of VBS, so we got a lot of activity coming up. So I've been warning people since April, rest up now because we're going to hit the ground running in the summer.
Wow. I wish I could be there for Brother Sam. Please greet him for me.
Oh, yes.
I love that guy. He is my favorite preacher. That guy's awesome.
Amen.
And what a man of God. Man, appreciate it. This is Tim Talks. Thank you for being with us this week. We'll be back on Monday, and we hope that you'll be along with us for the ride. Over 700 episodes and many more to come, we hope and pray. We're looking forward to 1,000. When we get to 1,000, that'll be a big one. It's going to come sooner than we think.
777, the number of perfection. It'll have to be the history of Dan Wolven and Grandma Jerry.
Wow. And Al Stone and Ma Thompson. This is Tim Talks. We hope you have a great weekend day. Hope you have a wonderful time in your church. And man, just get some ideas going. Let's get some ideas going. Send us some our way so that we can throw them out to others. We'd love to have them. This is Tim Talks.
Amen.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.